the Lord. Thank you, Adam and Stan. Appreciate you guys. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, if you have your copy of God's Word tonight, if you'll turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read a short passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles, and then join you there. We're going to be looking at some Scripture tonight, and I'm going to continue our series. We've been doing a series for the last few weeks on Don't Be Confused, and we've preached about the roots of confusion. Where does the spirit of confusion that come from? We believe we're living in the last days. And ever so more and more have I seen society being confused and disoriented about life and truth. And it's so evident. And we talked a little bit about where confusion come from. That the root of it is found in spiritual rebellion. It's found in setting up personal idols, our false gods, our false realities that we worship in our life. It comes from self-seeking and self-devotion. All of these are the roots of confusion that comes into the lives of people. And we talked about confusion. We talked about how do we begin to face confusion. Well, we face confusion through the Scripture, through the Word of God. And a second sermon, I talked about the reliability of Scripture and how Scripture plays a part, the Word of God plays a part in diffusing confusion in our life, that the Word of God is true and let every man be a liar. And then we talked about abortion. We talked about life. What is life? And it wasn't just the fact of abortion, but we talked about that God is the author of life. That He sustains life. He created life. And only He can give life and only He can take life away. And so we talked a little bit about that. But tonight I want to talk about don't be confused in a world of deception. Don't be confused in a world of deception. You know, before I read this passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles and then move to Matthew, I had lunch with a contractor today. Who was a builder, and he told me a story, and I've had this in my spirit all day. Matter of fact, I called one of my friends and told him of it, and he told me that there is a lady that a contractor is working for, and she's a very difficult lady to work for. Now, if you've owned your own business, and maybe you've had customers that weren't so easy to work for, and maybe you're a customer who's not so easy to work for, and but she's been very difficult for this contractor to work for. Matter of fact, she's gone through a couple of contractors, and so she's very hard to please. Y'all met anybody that's very hard to please? And y'all looking at me like you don't even know what I'm talking about. And but he tells the story that this contractor is putting windows in for her, and he put a window in for her. And she didn't like the way the window set. And she said, it looks like it's unlevel. And so he got his level out and put it on the window. And the window by the level is level. And it's level. But she said, but through my own eyes, it doesn't look level. It looks crooked. She said, I want you to take it out and put it in to where it looks level to my eyes. He said, ma'am, it won't be level. She said, it'll be level if it's level to my eyes. So he took it out and put it back in to the place to where she thought it was level. And now the window won't open because it's unlevel. But she's happy because it looks level to her. Now, how many know that's crazy? I'm just telling you, that's crazy. And I was sitting there as he's telling me this story, and the Spirit of God hit me and said, that's how people see the world. That's how confusion comes into people's lives. We've talked about how the Word of God is the leveler of our life. And the Word of God is the leveler of our life. And what we do is we see the Word of God level our life and we say, I don't like that. Move it a different way so that it appeases my eyesight, not to what's truth or what's level. And what happens is when the Word of God is not level in your life, then what happens is the windows of heaven don't open up for you. Just like that lady's windows don't open. And what's happened is that people's lives become a place where they're unlevel, but people don't care. As long as it looks good to them, that's all they care about, and that's all that matters to their life. I'm here to tell you, that is a spirit of confusion. I'm telling you, that's confusion. That's pride. How could you have so much pride in your life that you can't even receive and believe the reality of truth, where you've got to make your own truth to make yourself feel better? I'm telling you, I don't know if she has a husband, but if she does, I'd be married to her for about 30 seconds. Because I'd probably would have thrown her through that window if she'd have pulled something like that. But do y'all hear what I'm saying? But that's the reality of the world we live in. That's where we're headed. That's the world you live in. We take the Word of God and we level it to people. And people say, that's not the way I want it. That's not the way I'm going to live it. That's not the way I'm going to do it. And they thumb their nose at God. And they say, yeah, we don't care what your word says. I'm going to do it my way. That's the spirit of confusion. And it's what's becoming predominant in the lives of people. But I want to talk a little bit about today about living in a world of deception. How do we as believers survive a world of deception? How do you know what is deception? How do you know when deception comes to your life? By the way, those who are watching live stream, we want to welcome you. Grab your Bibles and hang out with us a little bit tonight. But I want to read 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. And the word of the Lord says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. It's a great passage of Scripture. It talks that the son of Issachar had the understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. It's one thing to have discerning of the times, but it's another thing to know what to do. There's two principles there. There's the principle of being discerning and not being deceived and being able to see the times and knowing the times, but it's another thing to know what to do in the times you live in and the world we live in. What is God saying to the church? What is God saying this hour to us as believers? And what is He saying to us? We must be like those sons of Issachar who understands the time. But also we must understand to know what to do spiritually. What to do culturally. What to know what to do politically in our lives. We need to imitate the sons of Issachar. And know what the hour and the day that we live in. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 3, when he was rebuking the Pharisees, he said, How is it that you can discern the day and the time and the hour, but yet you do not discern the signs of the times? You can discern the days and you can discern the stars and you can discern all of those things, but yet you do not know the hour in which you live. You are missing the signs of the times. And in Jesus' time, the Pharisees missed their visitation of the Messiah because they did not know the signs of the times that they live in. And I believe the modern church at times can miss the visitation of Christ and miss the visitation of God in our lives because we do not understand the times. We do not know the times we're living in, and we miss our visitation because we do not know the times we live in. And so there's an importance that's brought in this hour of day of deception that we are to have an understanding of the signs and the times of the day upon which you and I live. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 24, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture, and I want to talk to you tonight about deception and a little bit about deception. Now, Jesus explicitly warned, and obviously the biggest warning he gave was about being deceived. Warning and most defined warning that he gave, that characteristic his ministry, was that he gave warning after warning about being deceived. Paul also warned extensively in the Scripture about the last days. Paul talked extensively about the last days, understanding them, knowing that we're in the last days. What would be the description of the last days? How to respond in the last days? Knowing when the signs of the times had come, knowing when it was time. Jesus, now here in Matthew 24, Jesus has gathered his disciples together. His disciples have come together to him, and they begin to ask him these questions. And this is what they asked. They asked him this question in beginning in verse 3 of Matthew 24. Now as he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." In other words, they came to Jesus and said, "What is the sign of the times? How will we know the end of the age?" Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And he said that there will come a time when there will be those who will come in my name. Not only will they come in my name, they will deceive many by that, but you'll also know that the signs of the times have come, because you will know that many will be deceived. Those who come in my name, they'll be deceived by those who come in the last days claiming to be me, who are really not from me. Jesus said that twice. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. He said that in verses 4 and 5. As you read down through there in chapter 24, you get to verse 11, and it says, "There will be false prophets that will rise up and deceive many," the scripture says. Jesus said in the last days, there will be many false prophets that will rise up and deceive many. In other words, he's telling us again that in the last day, not only will there be false Christs, but there'll be false prophets. And then if you go down to verse 24 and 25, he brings it all together again. And then he says something very distinctly that is different than what he said in verse 11 and verses 4 and 5. He said it like this. He said, "For false Christ and false prophets will rise." Now, that's what he said in the two previous verses. But look what he adds here in verse 24. He says, "Not only will false Christ and false prophets rise, and they will show great signs and wonders to deceive even the elect." Not only will they come in his name, not only will there be false prophets that come, but there's going to be a manifestation that follows these false Christ and false prophets. And the manifestation is signs and wonders. Now, isn't that scary? And it says, to the point where even the elect. Now, the word elect there in the Greek is the Greek word ekklesikostos, or ekklesikost. It means those chosen by God, Messiah called, is what that word means. Really, what it means those who are part of the church. Now, it doesn't mean elect individually, but what it means is, it means collectively. The church is the ecclesia, the called out ones in the scripture. So what it's talking about, there will be those who are part of the church, the elect. We are the elect, the called out ones, the one redeemed by Christ. There'll be those that will be a part of the church calling themselves Christians in the last days, who will be deceived by these who come as Christ and as prophets. But now they'll be deceived not because they call themselves Christ or because they call themselves prophets. They'll be deceived because of the signs and wonders that they see. It's the signs and wonders that will deceive them, and possibly deceive them as the very elect. That's a scary thought. And so I want to talk about deception. And here in this passage, number one, here's what I want you to know about deception. That deception comes by gifts and personality instead of righteous living. In other words, deception comes by the gift and personality to replace the lives instead of righteous living. The reason in the last days that you will see people deceived by signs and wonders is because their focus will be on the gifts and on the personality of men instead of on the righteous living of men. We're deceived in this day because people are following a gift. They're following a personality, someone who has charisma, someone who has the ability to do signs and wonders, someone who has the ability to give a perception. And even though their life may be totally out of whack, crazy, wrecked up, they don't care because they're following the personality and the gift of that person instead of following and learning after the righteousness and purity and holiness that is in their life. People become deceived when we give ourselves to the gifts and personality of men instead of recognizing the righteousness and the holiness that is living in men. In other words, Jesus said it like this. He told them, he said, I tell you this in advance. At verse 25, see, I have told you beforehand. Jesus said it like this. He said, I am telling you, there are going to be those who are false Christs and false prophets who are going to do miracles before your eyes with their very hands. Don't look at who they are. Look at the character of their life. Look at what they are. Look at what they stand for, what they live for, and what they stand for. I was on Facebook yesterday, and sometimes as we do, and there was this discussion about a man who's on Facebook who's claiming to be back into ministry. Matter of fact, he had to leave ministry because he was taking women in his ministry and deceiving women and going and had multiple affairs with women while he was ministering and preaching throughout the country for a number of years. All of a sudden, 5, 6, 7, 8 women were coming forward saying they had affairs with this man. Now, this is a man who was packing out arenas. People were coming to hear and preach. He was laying hands on the sick. Miracles were being claimed in his meetings. And he was leaving the meetings, going and deceiving women and bringing women back to his hotel and back to his room, violating them. And all this time, in the name of Christ, preaching the gospel, where people are being changed, and all of a sudden people are following him, and so he gets exposed, and this is what he says. He says, we all have failures, we all make mistakes, and instead of going through restoration, instead of being humble and allowing God to restore his life, he allowed pride to come in and says, I don't care what y'all say, I'm on the platform because God, signs and wonders are following me. I'm here to tell you, we're living in the day where if you don't know who you're reading after, who you're going to see preach, who's speaking into your life, the Bible says, know those who you labor among. Don't let no one lay hands on you suddenly. You need to know the people that is speaking into your spirit, into your life, who's your covering, who is speaking truth into you. Because I'm telling you, you hook yourself up with somebody that's living a life of deception, you will fall right into and be hypnotized just like everyone and fall into the deception of whatever may be teaching. I'm here to tell you, don't be deceived by the gifts and personality. Don't allow that to replace righteous living. Righteous living. I want to tell you, some of the greatest anointed men I've known have been men that have never been out front, but they've always been men who have been solid in their life, and there's been anointing on their life because they've learned the secrecy of purity in their life. Amen, Pastor. And I'm telling you what is coming. Jesus said, I'm here to tell you, I have told you beforehand. There is coming a great deception in the last days, and there will be people. There will be people. Now, we knew a pastor, and I'm not beating on pastors, but we knew a pastor that had a ministry and a great ministry, and he had multiple areas of his life where he was out of order. Some of it was known, some of it was not known. People were attending this church knowing that these things were out of order, knowing that he was not taking steps and getting them. And what began to happen is the same spirit that was working in his life began to work through the people. What he was doing, the people were doing. And all of a sudden, not only was he doing certain things that was contrary to the word of God, now he had leadership doing it. Now he had ushers doing it. Now he had people in leadership doing the very same thing. Why? Because that spirit of deception gave a license to what he was doing, and people received it as permission to live and to walk a certain way. Now I know that's not popular preaching. I know we got to love, preacher. We got to have grace, and we got to all that. I'm here to tell you we're living in a day when people are being messed up and mixed up because of deception, because they do not heed to truth anymore. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. Signs and wonders. Can I help verify a little bit of what I just read? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Can I read this to you? And kind of help walk along with what I just quoted to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and begin reading in verses 9 through 12. It said, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Did you hear that? Look what it says. The coming of the lawless one. Who is the lawless one? It's the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is in accordance to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Listen, there's going to be a day of deception when lying signs and wonders are going to be produced throughout the church. People are going to fall for it and believe it. And here's what it is. It is a setup. It is a setup. What is it a setup for? It's a setup for the last days when the Antichrist comes on the scene. People will already be predisposed to believe a lie. When he comes on the scene, he'll come also with signs and lying wonders that will come. It is a setup. Say it's a setup. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and wonders, and with all unrighteous, look at it, all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They're deceived. And for this reason, God will send, listen, hear it, for this reason, because they will not receive truth, what does God send in these last days? This is last days. What God will send, he will send a delusion. He will allow a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. In other words, when man has made up his decision that he is not going to yield the truth, that he is going to be deceived, and yield to the lying signs and wonders and be deceived of the last days, then what happens is God will send a strong delusion, and that delusion will cause him to be deceived and to believe, and to not only believe the lie, but walk out the lie. For this reason, God will send that strong delusion. In verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Woo, that's a strong word. That is a strong word. You know, the Apostle Paul in Timothy. See, what happens is people's lives are a wreck, but their theology is worse. Their theology is wrong. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And what you'll begin to see in these passages of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, there is an answer. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that not only will there be a strong delusion and deception in the last day, but it's going to get worse and worse, the Scripture says. It's going to be such deceiving in people. But here the Apostle Paul says, how do you counteract? How do you come against deception? How do we come against deception that is coming in the last day? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And beginning in verse 13, it says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse." You hear that? Deceiving and being deceived. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." What is he saying? The scriptures are able to make you wise through faith. He is telling Timothy, Timothy, the way you combat deception is that you make yourself wise in the scriptures. You let the word of God continue in you. You let the things of God to continue in. That's how you safeguard your life against deception, against people who just have gifts and who have personality, is that you allow the word of God to be your instruction. You allow the word of God make you wise. Because if you're wise in the word of God, somebody can come on the scenes and they may have a gift, and they may have a personality, but if you know the Word of God, you'll be able to discern whether or not their life lines up with the Word of God. The reason some people are deceived, they don't know what the Word says. You can't call something out or know something is wrong if you don't know what the Word says. They're deceived because they become ignorant to the things of the Scripture. Paul said, Timothy, there's coming a day when men will grow worse and worse, but here is your ticket. Here's how you discern. You will be able to see it because when you see them, that either they will line up with the scripture or they won't. Either that window will be level or that window will not be level. Right? He's instructing him. This is your safeguard against deception. Continue in the scripture. Stay in the book. Be wise on the scripture. And so, number one, we can't be deceived by gifts and personalities. Instead, we have to pursue righteous living. Second of all, we can't be deceived by lies, but instead, we have to receive healing by faith. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And beginning in verse 1, the scripture begins to talk about deceiving spirits. Listen what the Bible says. I love this phraseology here in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, now the Spirit expressly says. Y'all hear that? It says the Spirit of God is saying. The Spirit of God. How many know the Spirit of God is a person in the Godhead? Y'all know that? There's God. There's the Son. And then there's the person of the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit is a person? How many know we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? He's just not something that's out. How many know he's eternal, just like God is eternal? He's omnipotent, like God is all omnipotent. He's all-knowing like God is. Right? And so here the Spirit is saying, the Spirit is speaking expressively and says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In the latter times, there'll be those who will depart from the faith. They will heed, giving themselves to doctrines of devil, seducing spirits. And then look what it goes on to say. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, let me tell you how that works. What that works is this, is that they've been deceived by a lie. So because they've been deceived by a lie, they begin to speak lies. See, when you've been deceived by a lie, you'll believe that lie, but not only that, you'll begin to speak those lies. See, the Spirit of God saying in the last days that the doctrine of devils, the doctrine of demons, is that demons will get deceive people into believing something about God that is not true. And when they believe that, it becomes a part of their life and they begin to speak the very lies that they have believed. God, the devil comes and whispers in their ear and draws them away from God. They drift away from the things of God. In the latter days, there'll be those who will depart from the faith because they have been seduced by deceiving spirits and doctrines of devil. Somebody's whispered in their ear, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. God's not real. He's not truth. His word is not true. That person that hurt you, you should hurt them. You should always feel anger to them. You should not forgive. And what happens is we believe a lie. And that lie manifests and gets rooted into our lives. And when it gets rooted in our lives, we begin to speak it. That's why it's a doctrine. It's a philosophy. It is a theology. The doctrine of devils is a deception where people begin to breathe lies that are not true. They're not true perceptions of what God thinks about you or how God feels about you. And people will believe them. They'll believe the lie, I'm useless, I'm worthless. They'll believe the lie that nobody loves me, nobody cares. I'm telling you, the doctrine of devils is what gets into the heart of people that want to commit suicide. They begin to believe the lie that their life is worthless and that God does not have a plan for them. I'm here to tell you it is a lie. It's a deceiving spirit, and that God wants to break that spirit in the earth today, and He wants to break the deception of lies and replace it with the healing power of faith in Christ Jesus. He will heal us. He will heal us. People who are drawn away by deceiving spirits, and all of a sudden, the hypocrisy, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they have been deceived by the very lies that they're speaking. Interesting. It is a well of their own resource that they pull from. It is a well of their own resource. Because here's what happens. I've known people who have been hurt by the church. And so they get hurt by the church, and they get wounded by the church, some pastor, some leadership, maybe justified, maybe not justified. Maybe somebody just doesn't like to be corrected, or somebody doesn't like to be disciplined, or maybe somebody, you know, or they could legitimately have been wounded and hurt. And what happened is they believe the lie that comes with that all churches all churches are that way. All preachers are that way. All Christians are that way. Because they've been judged, or because they've been, all of a sudden they look through the prism of that all their life. So God is never able to bring anything good into their life because they're always looking through the prism of their woundedness. And what happens is, if they continue it long enough, they'll begin to depart from the faith, believing the deception of the lie that is in them. Not only will they believe it, but they'll begin to start spewing it and begin to start speaking that lie. I'm here to tell you there is a healing God. I'm telling you the church is not perfect. All of us have been wounded. All of us have been offended. We all have to learn how to handle offenses in our life and put them in right perspective. Just because somebody wounds you doesn't mean God's rejected you. And because some preachers hurt you, don't mean all preachers will hurt you and all churches will hurt you. You have to understand that you cannot believe the lie. Instead, you have to receive the healing power that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. I like that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, just a few pages over, beginning in verses 1 through 4. Paul's about to be beheaded. This is his last chapter of the last letter and the last words that Paul has ever written. This is the final book. This is his final words before, as he sends this to young Timothy. These are his last words before he's ready to have his head whacked off by Nero. This is the last chapter that Paul has ever written. These are the last words of a man of faith and a man of God. These are his last moments. What does he say in his last moments of 2 Timothy chapter 4 as he's writing Timothy? What are his last words? This is what he says. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, say own desire, translates lust. That's what it is. their own desires. In the Greek, it means to lust. That's where we get the word lust. Because they have itching ears, they will heap unto themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside into fables. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying the time will come. Timothy, preach the word. Again, what is the safeguard against deception? The word of God. Timothy, preach the word. Thirdly, people are deceived. Number three, they're deceived by lust instead of learning separation and holy purpose. What happens? Look what it says here. It says, what has driven them away? The time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lust. Their own lust. What is their own lust? Their own lust is the forbidden things that God talks about. Their own lust is the forbidden things that God says not touch. What happens is their own desires take precedent over sound doctrine. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's when we give in to a desire in our life that is not godly over the sound teaching and doctrine of the Word of God. We become deceived. And how we become deceived is we are deceived by our lust instead of being separated unto an holy purpose for God. The reason people don't move forward in their life is not because God doesn't have a plan. It's because they've never learned how to separate their lives unto holiness and purity. And they've given in to their own lust. And so the drivenness of their own lust drives them into a lifestyle where they practice sin and they're deceived by that practice of sin. And they never learn how to separate themselves unto God, unto sound doctrine, unto the purpose of God for their life. And they always live a life of confusion. They always live a life of deception. That is what we're dealing with in the hour we live in the church. I'm telling you, men are living any way they want and calling themselves God and godly and calling themselves Christian. I'm telling you, not everyone in this world that calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. Y'all ain't hearing me. I'm here to tell you there's a deception that is going on where everyone, listen, more than 49% of practicing Christians agree with the statement, all people pray to the same God or Spirit. Now, let me show you this. There's a Christian author blogger. Her name is Glennon Doyle Melton. All right? She's a Christian blogger, quote unquote, Christian blogger. All right? She just married her soccer girlfriend of the U.S. Olympic team, Abby Wallback, after divorcing her husband after 14 years. He had cheated on her, and he now, because he cheated on her, she divorced him. He now supports her relationship. She is married to a U.S. Olympic soccer star. She still teaches her Sunday school in her church. And she says, people need to stop hating and live in love instead of judging. Now, what is Paul Timothy talking about? What is Paul telling Timothy? Timothy, preach the word, because here's what's going to happen. There's going to come a day when men won't endure sound doctrine. There's already a day when people don't endure the sound doctrine of the principle of one man for one woman, of the principle of Scripture, of truth, of holiness and purity. And what happens is, this is what deception gives breed to. It gives breed to this. Listen, God loves them both. But the truth is this, they've been driven away by their own lust. They've been driven away by their own lust, deceived by their own lust. They refuse to hear sound doctrine and the principles of sanctification and the principles of holiness, but they turn away from sound doctrine. And what do? Look what they did here. Look what the Scripture says they do. What do? Because They turn away to their own desires, and because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves, what? Teachers, right? In other words, they heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, itching ears. You know what that word means? A desire to hear, a desire to pursue, to hear other things. To heap up comes from the word, means to seek additionally, adjustments, a new idea of their own. In other words, they heap up for themselves teachers, those who will speak in addition, additionally. See, we have this deception that the Word of God is incomplete. See, the Word of God has outlived its day. Modern man has outlived its day. The Word of God is ancient, it's old, it's not relevant for the hour and the day we live in. And because of that reason, we believe we need to add to the Word of God. So what we do is that when we talk about traditional marriage and we talk about homosexuality and we talk about purity, we say, well, we don't listen to the Bible because it's outdated. I'm here to tell you the Word of God is never outdated. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word shall live forever. It never ends. And what happened is we live in the world. The problem is not that folks seek to have a homosexual lifestyle, another woman with another woman, or a man with a man. That's really not the root of the problem there. Let me tell you where the root is. The root is in the church that is allowing them to teach Sunday school and allow them to believe that everything in their life is okay. That's the deception. Because why? We live in a world that will always be messed up. But if men behind this desk doesn't preach truth, then the people out there will be a wreck and will be a mess. And that's the world we're living in. It's the world we're living in. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this argument of people who just refuse to yield to the truth of the Word of God. And they want to live their lifestyles. And how dare you to point a finger at the injustice of their life. I'm here to tell you, they said, well, you're discriminating against us. I'm here to tell you the Word of God is discriminating. Jesus said there's one way to God. It's through the man who is called Christ Jesus. There's not many ways to God. There's only one way to heaven, one way to God, and it's through Christ. I'm here to tell you that we're living in a day of deception. They say, well, you've got to speak truth in love. I want to tell you, there's no greater love than the speaking the Word of God in truth. If you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. And so what's happened is we've been deceived by lust instead of being separated unto God into holy purposes. I'm telling you. We're living in a day when men are stretching the boundaries and the borderlines, and we're walking on the edge, and we're walking on the edge, and it's just going to take one decision for people to fall off to the side and fall off one way. But we're living in a deceptive age. That's why there's so many splits in churches and why there's so many new churches popping up. Everybody's a preacher. I'm telling you, we license anybody now. You can go online and get you an ordination. Well, I got my papers. Scott Willis went to Ohio to preach, and he walked into this church. It was a big church, and Scott walked in there, and he walks up and meets the pastor. The pastor welcomed him. He had never been there before, but heard Scott was having a great ministry and heard about his ministry and invited him to come. It was a big church. It was a denominational church. And the first thing the pastor says to him, he says, who do you have your papers with? Scott says, papers? What do you mean, papers? Yeah, where's your papers? He's like, I don't understand what you're saying, my papers. He said, yeah, who's ordained you? And he says, well, you know, I've been licensed through such and such, such and such. And he's putting all this emphasis. And all of a sudden, there's this older man that's standing there. And he said, Pastor, he said, I don't know why you asked that question. He said, the best hunting dog I ever had didn't have papers. Let me tell you, having papers don't tell you anything about the man. Having papers doesn't automatically qualify you as someone who's different than someone else. Let me tell you what will distinguish you. Separation, purity, holiness, walking accountably before God, living it out, what you preach and how you walk and how you walk this thing out. That's what's going to speak to life. That's what's going to bring life. That's what's going to change the life of people, is understanding that God does not want you to live in deception, but He wants us to be separated unto a holy purpose for God. Heaping unto ourselves teachers. That's what they do. They run through a place that believes with their lifestyle. Okay, I know I'm boring you. We'll move on. I got 2 minutes, and I can finish this in 2 minutes. Y'all think I can do it? All right. Do not be deceived. Number four, deceived to believe that there's other gospels instead. Deceived to believe there's other gospels instead of the believing the sufficiency of the cross. We are deceived in the last days to believe that there's other gospels. Let me tell you what there's a rise of. There's a rise of non-Christian Christian organizations. Non-Christian Christian organizations. Let me tell you something. If you would ask a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, the Church of Scientology, the Unitarian Church, if you would ask them they are Christians, they would say they are. And you know what? They would even say that we use the name of Jesus, that we even quote from the Bible. But I'm here to tell you the deception of it is they all deny the basic Christian doctrine and work of Christ on the cross. And I'm here to tell you that we're living in the day when these kind of organizations are rising up. And what's happening is that they're not preaching the redemption of Christ. They're preaching Jesus as being nice. They're raising nice people. In other words, they're telling people how to be good, how to live morally, how to treat your neighbor good. All of that. I mean, all those things are important in life, but they're not preaching. All of them reject Christ and the resurrection and the sufficiency of the blood of Christ. And we're believing in the day, we're living in an hour when everybody's kumbaya and everybody goes to heaven. Nobody goes to hell anymore. Nobody is deceived anymore. I'm here to tell you there is a deception in the day we live in. People are falling for some of this stuff. I'm here to tell you the Word of God is true. Jesus died for us. He is the only way. He is the redemption that we need in our lives. But the deception is a world of pluralism. Galatians chapter 1, I'm closing. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, this is what Paul says. Remember, deceived to believe there's other gospels instead of believing the sufficiency of Christ. Look what Paul is saying to the Galatian church. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He said, I'm surprised you're turning away to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want you to pervert Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. You say, well, what does that mean? It means this. It means when Joseph Smith in 1800 went out and the angel Moroni appeared to him, and in the woods, while he's in the woods, the angel Moroni gave him these golden tablets, and he looked into this bag, interpreted the golden tablets, and now all of a sudden, truth comes through him instead of Christ. Paul said, if someone comes preaching another gospel outside of Jesus, it is a deception and it's not true. Mm-hmm. Right? Millions of people today, since the 1800s, have followed Joseph Smith and the Mormon Church. A charlatan and an ex-con. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Smart people. Good people. One last passage of Scripture, and we're done. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to finish with this tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, number 5. Deception comes by Satan's craftiness to not believe the simplicity of the gospel, but instead to believe that God's instruction, but instead of believing God's true instruction for salvation. Deception by Satan's craftiness to not believe the simplicity of the gospel. There are people that are deceived about the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, Paul said this, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealous, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by the craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ." What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, just as the serpent deceived Eve into believing that what God says is true is not true. What did she say? What did he say to Eve? Has God truly said? His craftiness deceived Eve to believe that what God said and his word made her believe and question the validity and truth of the gospel. What happens is, in the day we live in, people are deceived by the craftiness of Satan to believe that you don't have to truly be saved in order to go to heaven. That the simplicity of the gospel, that you don't have to live out or believe. In other words, you can believe another gospel. Paul goes on to say in verse 4, "For if he who comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, a different gospel for which you have not received, you may well be put up with it." In other words, Paul's saying, not only will those be coming preaching another gospel, but there's going to be those coming to preach another Jesus. And the craftiness of Satan is to believe that what Jesus requires of our life is not what Jesus requires of our life. You hear what I'm saying? And what I'm saying is like this. Now I'm going to say this and I want you to hear this. Because all of us have loved ones that are not believers. But listen to me. If men and women have heard the truth of Jesus and the gospel, and they don't believe and come to the house of God or serve God, they have been deceived by Satan to believe another reality of who Jesus is. If you hear the truth and know the truth and don't respond to the simplicity of the gospel and don't live it out, you've been deceived to believe that Jesus is much different than the gospel that you heard. Because I want to tell you, when you get the realization that He's a Savior, and you get the realization that you need salvation, it'll change your life. You'll pursue God. And the lukewarmness that comes in people's lives, and it's not that they don't believe, but they're not converted and they're not changed because they believe something about Jesus that's not true. Why would Jesus send good people to hell? Right? Have y'all heard it? Y'all heard the statements? Let me tell you what it is. It's the deceptive spirit of universalism. I'm going to give you two scriptures to read when you're at home. No, matter of fact, put them up, Brandon. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Put them up real quick. The spirit of universalism, the deception of universalism, that heaven is for all. I'm here to tell you heaven is not for all. You say, that's awful harsh, preacher. I'm not being harsh. Let me tell you, I'm not being harsh. I'm telling you, this is the most loving thing I can preach. Look what it says. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body. Where? In hell. Now, if everybody goes to heaven, what do you do with Matthew 10, 28? Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Brandon, Revelation chapter 20. Adam, come. Verses 12 through 15. Let me tell you what I hear all the time. You know what I'm tired of hearing? Love wins. Love wins. Love wins. Love wins. As though love is still trying to accomplish something. Let me tell you something. Love already won. 2,000 years ago on the cross, love already won and paid the price. No greater love than this, than a friend who laid his life down. Jesus Christ is the greatest expression of love there ever was. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged. Oh my. They were judged. They were judged. Y'all hear that? They were judged. They were judged. They were judged. Listen, I'd rather be judged in this world than to have to go into the next world and be judged. Each one according to his works. Go ahead, verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And anyone, say anyone. Now, let me give you a little Greek lesson. That word anyone is what's called in the Greek, it's what's called in the emphatic. In other words, we know the tense of certain words and their meanings by they call them voices in Greek. It's in what's called the emphatic. It means that it's a sure word. It doesn't mean just, well, we say anyone. It really means anyone. Anyone. And anyone. It means there's no exclusion. It's emphatic. There's no exception. Anyone. I said anyone. Anyone. There's no exclusions. There's no passes. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen. Sometimes you have to preach truth like this, because what's pushing on our lives is a pushback in this day. And I'm telling you, there's so many people being deceived by truth. How many know we just can't live the way we want to live? I know how I want to live. Right? Does anybody, I know how I want to live? Because when somebody makes me mad in the grocery store, I know how I want to talk to them. Right? That's how I want to live. That's my flesh. I know... I know what I want to do. But when we understand the grace and the love and the truth of the Word of God, Paul said, Timothy, preach the Word. Stand with me if you would tonight. I don't ever want to be deceived. I don't ever want to live in deception. The problem is, we've become so prideful. We've become so prideful to do what we want to do that we're willing to allow our window to be out of level just so that we can have it the way we want it. I'm telling you, God wants to level our window. I don't want things to be level according to my eyes. I want things to be leveled according to His Word. That's the plumb line. That's the plumb line of my life. Would you just lift your hands tonight, Father? I know this is a hard word tonight. Lord, I know some could misconstrue it as unloving. But Lord, with all my heart, I have shared this tonight with every bit of passion and love for God. And it's because I want to see people living deceived when it comes to the things of God. I don't want to be deceived, Lord. I want truth to be the foundation on which I stand. And Lord, I know it's contrary and it's against the current of the basic world we live in. But God, I'd rather suffer persecution in this life than to have to be judged in the next life. So Lord, we just pray tonight, help us. All of us at times have fallen to deception. All of us have been wounded and hurt and believed lies that were not true. All of us have been attracted to personalities and giftings and people, and we've never taken the time to measure their life, to measure whether or not there's righteousness and purity and holiness in the way they live. So Lord, we just pray tonight that You open our eyes. Let us be like the men of Issachar. Not only able to discern the times, but to know what to do. Help me know what to do in such a deceptive world, Lord. Help us as a church to know what to do. We pray that we will not be deceived and we will not give in. We'll stand for truth and not be ashamed. Lord, I pray Your blessing upon everyone in this church family. I thank You for their redemption and their salvation. I thank You, Lord, for their hope that's in Christ. And Lord, we pray for our city. We pray for our world. We pray for our nation. We know, Lord, that it's a sign of the times of the last days. We know sound doctrine is not popular, but truth, God, is what sets men free. So thank You for allowing truth to be a part of our life. And so, Lord, we rejoice tonight as believers that You are on the throne. Touch my heart tonight. Deal with me, Lord. Help me not to live and give in to deception. So, Lord, we pray this prayer tonight with all honesty of heart, all honesty. Everything in us, Lord. We give everything to You. We pray this prayer tonight in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering? Yeah. Come on, God's good. Hallelujah. As you leave tonight, would you greet some people, hug on some people? Let them know that you care about them. And God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday.